Okay, so this week's parasha has in it the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek at the end, and perhaps it's even more, or it contains a little more significance this year. We'll find out through the shiur, due to the fact that we're on the cusp of a leap year. The coming year is going to be a leap year, so that may give this Shabbos's laning a little more significance according to some shittas, and we'll find out why. The normal minhag is just before Purim. We read the end of this week's parsha as the maftir, and we're mechavein, as they announce in the shul, for the mitzvah deraisa of Zechiras Amalek. And the question is, it seems pretty clear one is mekayim a mitzvah deraisa of Zechiras Mechias Amalek, or perhaps Lo Tishkach. It's interesting. The pasuk starts off with an asay, Zechiras Yo as Amalek, right? And then it ends off Lo Tishkach. You're not allowed to forget. So is it a mitzvah asay? Is it a mitzvah Lo Sasay? Or is it a mitzvah asay and a mitzvah Lo Sasay? So either way, there is an important fact that, you know, we are to remember. It is considered to be mitzvah d'oraisa, and one is certainly mekayim that by listening to the laning on just before Purim. The question is that the only way to be yotzei? Does one have to hear it every year? What is the nature of this mitzvah? Is one yotzei again on Shabbos, this Shabbos, when we'll lane it as the last part of the parsha? So those are some questions. Now, when it comes to the nature of the mitzvah by itself, so Tosfos mentions in Brachos, the Gemara is discussing whether the Torah can be essentially said in any language, or is it specifically in Lashon HaKodesh, different things, and Rashi addresses perhaps things with Kriyas HaTorah. So Tosfos says that the significance here is to read from a Sefer Torah, presumably from a Kasher Sefer Torah, although that's not 100% Muchach, but to read the text that we find in the end of this week's parsha to be Yotze Zechiras Amalek. So it seems that Tosos understood, and it's not just the Tosos on the side of the page, Tosos Shantz and other Bali Tosos that we have writings from indicate that the mitzvah is specific to the end of this week's parsha. Or the text that's found at the end of this week's parasha. I'm not saying it's to be done during Parashas Ki Tse'etzeh, per se, but it's to be done in such a situation. Now,
certainly not
or with such a text.
Certainly not reading from Shmuel.
Well, no, that's what needs to be, that's what we're discussing right now. It seems that Tosfos is under the impression that there's a mitzvah to read it from the text that we have, which can be found at the end of this week's parasha. Would Tosfos allow you to use another text? It may have to be biblical. For example, and this is something that needs to be addressed, we have at the end of Parashas Bishalach a storyline when we left Mitzrayim and Amalek attacked us. That's when it happened, so to speak. This is a recap in Sefer Devarim, and the tzivui is at the end of this week's parasha, and the tzivui also essentially to eradicate them seems to be here. We do have at the end of Bishalach a similar portion. Can one be yotzei with reading that? That's, you know, we read on Purim, we read the parasha of Amalek. We don't read this one, we read a different one. So can you use that? So that could be a little open-ended, and then we can address Shmuel, maybe, or even Avnei Nezer seems to, you know, allow perhaps, maybe, but yeah, maybe not, for the possibility of Mikra Megillah, because the underlying theme is eradicating Amalek of Haman. So,
any other instance where Amalek is mentioned? I mean, there's the Amaleki that David kills. Is that
Mikra? Yes, and we have David also. Well, it's just to back up, and we're getting a little tangential here, but you know, it's fine. It's a small crowd. We can kind of go with it. It's not so clear that the Mechias Amalek that was done Bimei Shaul, which you're referencing from Shmuel, was Mechias Amalek. That may have been a separate mitzvah. You know, there are criteria given by the Gemara Darshan in the Pesukim And the Pesukim themselves do indicate that you need to have a king, and you need to have complete peace amongst your neighbors before you go out and you attack. There is a shita brought, the Smad, who holds... Well, the Rambam doesn't apply necessarily to Shul. The Smad seems to hold that the mitzvah will only be pertinent, lost love will be made Mashiach. And presumably it's because first things will have to settle down to the point that there's complete peace with all the neighbors, which we've never really had to the degree that this Smad requires. So it's not so clear there what's going on. Shaul definitely was Adin Melech. He was anointed by Shmuel. Happy, you know, Hashem told Shmuel to do it. It's a Navi, you know, doing that. So he certainly had Adin Melech. However, it's interesting to note that in the beginning of his Perush Mishnayos, the Rambam uses the psukim from Shmuel to discuss the necessity to listen to a Navi. That if a Navi commands you to do something, you have a mitzvah d'oraisa to listen to him. A Navi isn't going to tell you to do an already required mitzvah. That's something the Rambam writes in Hilchos Yisrei HaTorah. So, therefore, it seems, not explicit, but it seems putting two and two together from the Rambam's works, assuming that he wasn't chozer from something, and assuming that he meant all this bedavka, that he understood that Shaul was a mitzvah from Shmuel, a horos, shah, if you will, it was some mitzvah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us through Shmuel as a Navi, which is not a mitzvah ledaros, it's not one of the, you know, tariag, so to speak, but for that moment there was a necessity to attack Amalek. It creates an interesting philosophical question, in that what if Shaul would have been successful? Well, we never have had the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek, because they would have been eradicated. And it wasn't the mitzvah d'oraisa. So, that's an interesting point that we can ponder, as well as other interesting points when it comes to Amalek, in that David seems to attack them in a very brief amount of time afterwards, and they seem to have recuperated from the attack from Shaul a little too quickly than would be humanly possible. So was Shaul only supposed to attack a certain element of Amalek, maybe certain tribes if they were in different factions? There is discussion amongst Rishonim, maybe there's two or even more different tribes that are affiliated with this coalition of Amalek.
Talking about the Ger Amaleki that comes into Tum.
Right.
So yes. Clearly, they had not an Amaleki who was Megayer after they were eradicated.
Right. And as you have all these questions how to deal with it, so that may be some path to get out of that philosophical question that maybe Shaul wasn't to eradicate all of Amalek at the time, just a specific part of Amalek. Who knows? But either way, back to the mitzvah here of Zechira. So that's Tosas's shita. Tosas doesn't mention that you need a minion. He doesn't mention that aspect of it. It's not necessarily didn't create a Torah. It would seem that a person would be able to take out maybe a chumash, but certainly a sefer Torah, and read the parsha on his own. It doesn't say how frequently one would need to, and would be yotzei zechira. Perhaps a person could even say a bal peh. If he knows the words, you know, you have to address the issue, the general issue of things that are written in the Torah in general. You know, there is some element that you're not supposed to say in the Baal Peh, but that's a different sugya. Whatever that's going on, you know, it's as long as you're keeping to not being in violation of that, presumably you might be able to do that according to Tosfos. So that doesn't support our minhag. Now, keep in mind, our minhag could just be something practical. You know, it's not necessarily against Tosos. However, we do find other Rishonim. The Rush mentions that there's a story in the Gemara where someone had an Eved, and he freed his Eved in order to make a minion. An Eved, well, an Eved is not allowed to be counted as part of a minion, but an Eved Meshocher, once he is freed, he's allowed to be counted as one of the ten. And there is an iser to free one's eved. There's an iser for one to free an eved. We're not talking about eved Ivri, we're talking about eved Kanani. And therefore, the question is, how did he do this? And the Gemara answers, when there's a mitzvah, derabim, a very important mitzvah, so the iser, whatever level iser that is of his nechaltem is overcome. We suspend that iser, and we will allow in such a case one to free his eved. Is one required to? You have to address what the mitzvah is here. Avodim are certainly expensive back in the day. Nowadays, it would presume to be usher to own avodim, but back in the day, culturally they had them, and the Torah does allow for it in today's day and age because societally it's frowned upon. Presumably, it would even be usher, but we live in a different time, and therefore, it's not appropriate necessarily to look differently at them in a judgmental way. It's a different time. But nowadays it wouldn't be allowed. So either way, he freed his Eved, and the Rosh says, because he needed a minion, it wasn't just for a minion to make for Shacharis, because that wouldn't be sufficient to suspend his Nechaltan. You needed Deraisa. So it needed to be the mitzvah Deraisa of Sechiris HaMalek, of Kriyas HaTorah, Sechiris HaMalek. So the Rosh, we find, actually tells you that you need a minion, because that's the main point. And not only do you need a minion, but it seems to be an element of Kriyas HaTorah. So you need, it would seem, to read it from a Torah. If you don't have a Kasher Sefer Torah, maybe you can get around it by reading from a Chumash or Apostle Sefer Torah. That seems to be a Machlokas Rishonim in its own right. So the Chatchila, certainly you would need a Sefer Torah. B'diavad, if you have no other Eitzah, you should read it from something else, because it could be your Yotze. But you certainly would need a minion of 10. And that's what comes out from that. Is the minion of 10 deraisa? From the setup we just said, it seems that way, because that's what was necessary to facilitate that. There are those who try to read into the Rosh that the Iker mitzvah isn't with 10, but Chazal gave a tzura to the mitzvah, midrabanan, so to speak, that the mitzvah you really could do on your own, but they created something that it's generally done with 10. So since the Iker mitzvah is 10, is a deraisa, even though certain aspects of it are only midrabanan, but nevertheless, in order to accommodate for the overall mitzvah, you could do that. There are those who try to read that. However, the pashtus in the Rosh does not indicate that way. The pashtus in the Rosh is that the 10 people themselves are a mitzvah deraisa, that you need a minion, and the Beis Yosef and the Shulchan Aruch seems to understand it that way also, that is a deraisa. Interestingly, he seems to quote from Tosos, but he's really expressing the shita of the Rosh, but he comes out that it is a deraisa to have a minion, and it seems that it would have to be the text. Now, once that's the case, we do seem to...
Does he say when he has to read it?
He does not. So that's another issue we have to get into. How frequently does this have to be done? And is there a specific time that it needs to be done? The Rambam and others, Sefer Chinuch it seems, don't seem to have an exact text and don't seem to indicate that you need 10 people. So it does seem to be a three-way machlokas, with Tosos seeming to say that you need a set text from the Torah, it would seem. We said maybe these other official readings, may be sufficient, but we were a little unsure of that. The Rosh definitely attributes it to Kriyas HaTorah with 10 people, so something that would need 10 people, so it definitely would need to be Kisei Kodesh. Once again, we have open-ended, is a specific kisetik, maybe it could be Bishalach, whatever it is, but it seems to be something from the Torah. The Rambam and the Chinuch leave it somewhat open-ended, that technically it could be anything. However, the minhag is, clearly to read it from a Sefer Torah, and the understanding is Parashas Kiseitze. The question is, can you use something else, as we've mentioned? So, those are the three main shitos Rishonim. They, technically, the Rambam and the Chinuch would hold, you could say it in whatever fashion you would want to. You could tell over the story. It's possible you may need some key elements, depending on the Torah, that if the Zechira and the Mechia are intertwined, it wouldn't be sufficient to just mention the storyline of how they attacked us. It would be necessary also to mention that therefore we have a chiv to eradicate them. But, so long as you hit all the major points, you wouldn't need a set text. You could do a kafitzachas lishon, however you are know, capable, however you want to tell over the story. It would almost seem like Mitzvah Sibri Yitzias Mitzrayim, very similar fashion. These are, so to speak, storylines, major events that occurred in our history that are necessary for us to repeat for whatever major points. Yitzias Mitzrayim is obvious. It's in order that we have the Ikrei Emunah of us being taken as a nation to be a Kadosh Baruch Hu's nation, how He saved us from Mitzrayim, from being slaves, in order to keep His Torah and Mitzvot. So that we have to tell over. We happen to have a set text in today's day and age of the Haggadah. However, it's clear there that the Ikur Hadin is Kefitzachas Hashanah. However, somebody could tell over the story. If you didn't say the exact text of the Haggadah, you're Yotzei, it could be there are certain points you need to hit upon in order to be Yotzei, but not necessarily with the exact text given by the Haggadah. Rabbi Gamliel mentions of their Pesach Matzah and Mar need to be mentioned. There's a discussion amongst the Rishonim that L'chatchila B'diavad, but certainly even if, you know, certainly if it's B'diavad, you don't have to say the Haggadah, you could just say those three points within the course of your evening, and you'll touch upon all that. The minhag certainly nowadays, it's become part of minhag Klal Yisrael, is to recite the Haggadah. And in addition to that, Kol HaMarbeh HaRei Zeh Meshuvach, in order that one should elucidate more. We don't necessarily see Kol HaMarbeh by Yitzchir Amalek, but
We can ask the same question about Tzias Mitzrayim. Let's say someone Pesach Meir sits around and discusses the Meraglim. He's not Yotzei the Mitzvah?
No.
So like, what defines a Tzias Mitzrayim? Is it like the story before Moshe? Does Moshe have to be born in the story?
That's a good question. So we know that, and some of this may only be Midrabanan, but you have to start from the Gnus. You have to discuss the element of being Avadim in Mitzrayim, and then you have to discuss how Hashem took us out from being free. Do you have to have the whole storyline? If you look in the Rambam, it doesn't seem that way. Maker Adin, and he applies it. You know, keep in mind, Vigadat Levincha, teaching your children the Sipur, is an integral part of the evening, and the children of different ages are capable of understanding different things. So the basic level that the Rambam seems to discuss over there is you tell your child that, you know, he says you point to an Eved. It was common back then to have one. You see, that's an Eved. Nowadays, you might have to explain to your child what an Eved is a little bit, because, you know, Baruch Hashem, not part of our culture. Then you say, we used to be Avad, and Hashem freed us. So, it's a very basic level.
That's a basic level. But if you were to go to your son and say, well, we're going to discuss what happened at the Meraglim. Now we're going to discuss what happened at Korach. That's not part
that's
of the Tzias
Mitzrayim. That wouldn't be. I mean, you have the Mitzvah of Zechiras Tzias Mitzrayim on a daily basis also. You say it in Shema or Emes V'Yatziv. We don't go past that. You know, the question is, what do you need and what can you be Yotzei with? Those are two different points. What do you need as basic elements, and then what else can you add, perhaps, is an interesting point.
Do we need to add Moshe's traveling to Midian?
It doesn't seem you need Moshe. You just need the basic idea. We were Avodim, we were saved by God from Mitzrayim, period.
No, I mean, you can claim Mitzrayim.
It's the bare bones. You might need Kriyas Yamsuf, according to some, but whatever, you know, because that was how we came out completely. Even that is debatable. So, you know, that's the bare bones. Zechiras Amalek, you may have some bare bones. It's a little unclear. You know, it's what the nature of this mitzvah is. Now, as we mentioned a few times, is the text at the end of this week's parasha the only one to use? It's certainly the minhag Yisrael that we use in a yearly basis. So, it seems to be a machlokas between the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah. The Magen Avraham allows for one to read from Pesach. He doesn't mention Megillah, and that's a hard read. Avnei Nezer seems to open up for that, but as we're mentioning even tonight, it's a little difficult because it's not outright mentioned. It may allude to Mechiyas Amalek, but it's not really a full outright Zechira. Nevertheless, the Magen Avraham definitely would allow for Pesach, whereas the Mishnah Berurah seems not to allow for it. Now, it's possible that their machlokas is intertwined with another point. How frequently do we need to do this? And who's chayv? Are women chayv? So, the chinuch, the minhag nowadays is once a year. And it's brought by many achronim that once a year is necessary. Why? Because we find by other things, after a year, people begin to forget things. It says, after Shneimasar Chodesh, people forget certain things. So therefore, since people start to forget it after 12 months, so you need to do it on a yearly basis. So that's where you see in the Achronim. Interestingly enough, when you look in the Rishonim, they don't mention this. So the Achronim seem to retrofit because most Rishonim don't give a time frame. We will find at least one that does. But since most don't, they retrofit that if they're telling me I can't forget, and I see the Gemara attributes forgetting to a 12-month duration of time, so Mela, it must be that I have to do it on a yearly basis. Otherwise, there's an element of forgetfulness that's occurring. Okay, that's one thing. The Chinuch, however, mentions, so you mention it once every year, once every 2 years, once every 3 years. He writes it like that. So he doesn't give a set time. He says every bit of time so that it's not forgotten. It's somewhat on your mind. Interestingly enough, he then writes, and if a person never did it his whole life, he was mevatel the aseh. So there's two points. It seems, from the chinuch, you have to do it on somewhat of a regular basis not to forget. He definitely is extending it past a year. And preferably, you should not do it just once in your life. You should do it on a repetitive, you know, cycle. Doesn't have to be a set cycle, perhaps, but you should do it in a frequency that you're never really completely forgetting it. However, if you did it at least once in your life, then you weren't mevatel l'aseh because you made sure to remember it. So it's two different points. One is you should do it in a certain way, but the other way, you can't say that a person forgot it if he did it at least once in his life, even though it's preferable to do it more frequently than that. You know, similarly, we find the Ritva learns there's a mitzvah to put on tefillin on a daily basis. However, it could be that one isn't mevatel the mitzvah of tefillin unless he totally never put on tefillin ever in his life. The Torah never gives you a time frame. We know when you can put on tefillin and when you cannot, and we know there's machlokas about that. Shabbos, Yontif, nighttime, etc. We know daytime, non-Shabbos and Yontif is a time to wear tefillin. But does it mean I have to wear tefillin every day? So the Ritva says there's a mitzvah to wear tefillin every day. And that's the minute. But what if I didn't? I wasn't mechayim the mitzvah. But was I mevatel the mitzvah? So here also. Now, the chinuch mentions that women are pturos. Why are women pturos? Because he sees that the mitzvah is intertwined with the mechia, with the destruction of Amalek. And that's something to do with war. And when it comes to going out to war, the derech of an ish is to go to war, and not an isha. And that's a line used by Chazal, applied elsewhere. Therefore, since they're not mitzuvos in going to war, they're not mitzuvos in this, because the two mitzvahs are intertwined. Now, I went on a tangent. I know I asked a couple questions before that I'd like to get back to, and hopefully we will, about the time frame. We do it every year, etc. But we are now seeing from the chinuch that it's a little more open, and we're also seeing that women are pturos. So, the truth is, there's a machlokas rishonim if the mitzvah is a mitzvah on a yachid, or the mitzvah is a mitzvah on the tzibun. The bahag counts it as a mitzvah on a yachid, as every individual needs to remember this. The, what's it called? The smag, on the other hand, counts it as a mitzvah on the tzibur. Now, it's very interesting for a second, because the Gaonim, we're more familiar with the Rambam and others, that when they write their Sefer HaMitzvahs, their the Monei HaMitzvahs, they write essays and los essays. The Gaonim, and some others who have written Sefer HaMitzvahs, so what they liked to do, they had a slightly different classification system, and they would have essays and los essays of Yechidim, then they would have punishments, things that have skilas reif ha'erachanek. And then they would have a fourth category of mitzvahs that are mutalas on the tzibur. Things that Basin has to take care of, or the melech, etc. You know, there's some general mitzvahs that, you know, the average person doesn't have. So, that being the case, the smag, excuse me, I keep saying smag, I didn't mean to say smag, I apologize, let me back up. Rav Sadia Gaon is what I meant to say. Rav Sadia Gaon counts it as a mitzvah that's mutal on the tzibur. Now we have something that's a little interesting, because the tzibur is the ones who are responsible for war. Not every yachid can just go to war. So under the assumption that mechias amalek is a din in going to war, and that's a mitzvah on the tzibur, not on the yachid, so it would seem possible that the machlokas bahag and ursadigon, whether it's a yachid or whether it's a tzibur, is the mitzvah zechira, is dependent on whether the zechira is an element of keeping us ready to go to war and fired up. If the two are intertwined, if it's a tzibur dikadin or whether it's a yachid dikadin. So according to the Bahag, if it's a yachid dikadin, it may have nothing to do with mechia. And according to the Rishadigon, it makes more sense to have to do with mechia.
The zechir is remembering what they did to us back in Parshas Peshach.
In order to be ready to within the context of Zachor, it says Timchet Zechir Amalek.
It's not a matter of remembering what was done.
It is remembering what was done in order that you should be malchim. When you have that, get fired up and that passionate, you know, you're ready to go out to war. If you have a good inspirational speech, you know, a pep talk beforehand, the Meshuach Mucham, whoever is going out to give them a pep talk. So when going to Amalek, to keep that fire inside you, to be ready to go, to be passionate about it. So it would seem possible that that's what's going on here. Meaning, according to the Bahag, that it's a mitzvah on the yachid. So since it's a mitzvah on the yachid, there's no set time. Even if it's once a year, there's no specific date that it has to be. Nobody says that. So if it's a din on the yachid, then presumably it has nothing to do with the mitzvah on the tzibur. With war. In which case, there's no reason to exclude women from the mitzvah. Masha'enkin, if it's a din, like Rasadia is saying, that it's a din in the Mechia, which is a war aspect. Now, Rasadigon didn't write much. His Minyan Amitzis is a poem, and then we have another one of his, but they're very small. Yeruchim Fischel Perlow wrote a three-volume set, which essentially is tremendous, but it's a little difficult to know what Rasadigon himself meant. So, I don't know whether Rasadigon would pater women or not, but at least within that framework, when now revisiting the Chinuch, it makes more sense, perhaps, it seems likely, although not muchrach, that the two are intertwined, and therefore, since it's a part of the war, it seems that I would guess that they're arguing really with the Bahag. In which case, it would be machlokas rishonim / ga'onim, whether or not women are chayavos in Zechiras Amalek. It is a deraisa, so presumably, you know, it would be a good idea for women to go, perhaps Safik Deraisa, Luchumra. Now, different communities have been hugging, and that's why I'm hesitant to say with certainty Safik Deraisa, Luchumra. If there was no precedent of Minhag, if you just started doubting this right now, if you asked me, I would say Safik Deraisa, Luchumra, women are chayav to hear. But because different communities paskind like different ways, that could have a valid psak halacha, therefore I'm hesitant to say it, but it's at least a very smart idea for women to hear this, and that is the minute, for the most part, certainly in America, that women do try to go to Pasha Zachar. And if they're unable to make it, then they try to be Yotze, either read from Chumash, or maybe they'll come on this week in order to be Yotze. Now, when dealing with it on this level, dealing with Shikha, with forgetting things, we have two possibilities. The Chinuch told me Shikha is clearly not just once a year. The Rishonim don't mention how frequently it is. The Achronim seem to discuss, well, there's an Indian in the Gemara that things start to become forgotten after a year. Now, I know things aren't forgotten 100% after a year, because I can remember them if I think about it. The thing about that is that, but it's not on the forefront. What's going on here is not that you forget something if you don't think about it for a year. Ma'asim b'chol shana, let's say, every few years, where you think, I never thought about that, and you remember something. What it means is the shikha here is something should be on the forefront of your mind. So if you haven't experienced it within a year, it's not. So to what degree, though? One doesn't have to say like these achronim, in terms of the minhag is certainly like them, don't get me wrong, but one doesn't have to say that they're arguing with, they're for sure arguing with the chinuch. Let me back up. One could say that the chinuch agrees that shikha occurs after 12 months, is what I meant to say. He's not arguing with your concept that's in the Gemara. He's just saying that look, that's one level of shikha, but that's not real shikha. Real shikha is when you completely forgot about it to the point that somebody tells it to you and you say, what is that? I have no idea what zechir is. Well, who's Amalek? Now that's unlikely even if you don't hear it for a year. If you wouldn't hear about Amalek for 10 years, my guess is...
Maybe you don't be looking for the same fire.
That's fine, but my guess is if there are certain things that fired you up, certain topics or whatever it is, and you haven't thought about it in 10 years, somebody mentions you, you can become just as passionate.
Well, that's the Zohar. That's something.
That's fine, but...
That's what we do. We're going to bring everybody to the shul, we're going to have this guy get up, and he's going to give this whole passionate speech on Zohar.
But if...
And now you're going to get fired up again.
But it's not going to trigger a memory without even hearing it. I mean, it's not necessarily shachuach. It's not necessarily gone completely. All I'm saying is, it's possible to read the Chinuch that he agrees that things become forgotten. They're not in the forefront of your mind. At the same point in time, they are still in your mind somewhere. It's not that they're completely out and you have to, you know, relearn it or something of that nature. At the same point in time, it's possible not. Another possibility within the Chinuch is to say, because he holds that it is a mitzvah on the tzibur, there's a difference in a yachid forgetting something and a tzibur forgetting something. Now, if it's a mitzvah on the tzibur, that would explain why you need 10 people. Because then it's a din tzibur. That would explain the rush. None of these things are muchach. These are all theories, which is why this year is a little, you know, vague, because the Rishonim didn't really explain themselves. But we have certain things that continue to fit one to the other to the other. One more point just to bring up. Let's assume, and the minig is that we do it on a yearly basis. It is a deraisa, and we're mocked to try to accommodate the shita that it's a din in the tzibur. And we do it every year. And it's a din in Kriyas Torah, which is how the Shulchan Aruch brings it, seemingly from the Rosh, right? So, if the issue is, even though the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say 12 months, but if the issue is, because we hold 12 months of an inyan of shikha, and this is why this week is maybe a little more pertinent, what do you do with a year like this year? From last time we read Zechiras HaMalek until the next time will be 13 months. Because it's going to be a neighbor year. We're going to have another shame. So, are we missing out?
The next question, is it a year or 12 months?
So, the Gemara that seems to talk about it and the application of it is within 12 months. It would seem.
Well,
the din in
shikha, you would say it's 12 months, you wouldn't say it's a year.
I mean, well, I'm going to think that. Right. So the Chasam Sofer says that it really is a din in a year. Even though all indications and other applications of that seem to be applied to 12 months. And he says, it's not a din in 12 months. It's when you go through an entire yearly cycle of Yom Tovim and one thing to the other and the seasons. So everything's past, your life cycle, your body's attuned to that. So that's when you've forgotten. Even though that's true, his Talmidim say that he was makbid in an Ibrior, that he would have Kavana during Pashas Kiseitzai. Because that way you're getting within the time frame to do that. Now, going back for a second to the Mishnah Berurah Magen Avraham that we had mentioned before, if the din is a din in the tzibur, and it's intertwined with Milchama, then it makes more sense. Lashem should be pater. That's fine, and maybe that does come out. As it's not outright discussed really by the Achronim, or certainly the earlier Achronim. But according to the Mishnah Berurah, if you remember, he said you bedafka have to read Parshas Kiseitzai. Well, that kind of makes sense because here's where the mitzvah mechia is. It's not in Bishalach. Whereas the Magen Avraham, who allows you to read from Bishalach, where there's no mitzvah of Mechia Samalik, it just is the actual storyline, he seems to be at least entertaining the possibility that you're able to say, even without mentioning Mechia. So are the two split, that the Mishnah Berurah is going like the Chinuch, the way we've set it up, and the Magen Avraham is going like the Bahad, that it's on the Yachid. You don't have to say that. You could say that even the Chinuch, who says it's a mitzvah in the Mechia and on the Tzibur, he holds, the mitzvah isn't to mention the mechia, you get people fired up, and then they're ready to do the mitzvah of mechia. So if you say b'shalach, you can accomplish the same thing, although, if you would hold like the Bahag, it is more reasonable to allow for more types of readings and not just Kisei Tzei. A very big point, though, that puts a big question mark on this, which is why it's very important to say that it's not necessarily true, is the Chinuch himself didn't seem bedacted to have to hold the precious Kisei Tzei as being the portion. So that's why, according to the Bhag, it would be easier in theory, but in practice we see the Chinuch, who does hold, seemingly it's a mitzvah on the tzibur, allowed for almost any reading. You know, and therefore, it could just be getting fired up is sufficient. So the Magen Avraham isn't bound to the Bahag's reading, but he, definitely according to the Bahag, it would work that way. The Mishnah Brura, though, who seems to say it's Dachka Kitzete, remember he's going within the Rosh Hashita of having to read specifically Kriyas Torah, etc., which is not like the Chinuch. So according to that, it would come out that it seems more likely that he's holding that it's a din in Mechiyas HaMalek, and therefore you need to also express the mitzvah of Mechiyah. So, you know, just as a sikkum, we've been all over the place a lot tonight. When it comes down to it, there is a mitzvah. The Rishonim don't give an actual time frame. The Chinuch says once every few years, one year, 2 years, 3 years. The Achronim say that no, it's clear the mitzvah is on a yearly basis. And the minhag is to try to accomplish it on a yearly basis. It is a mitzvah d'oraisa. We seem to be machmir, perhaps even hold me'ikra din like the Rush, who holds that you need 10 people, and it's a Kriya Satorah type of an issue, in which case you should lean preferably from a kosher Sefer Torah if you have one, and you have to have kavana, because it's a mitzvah d'oraisa. So for d'oraisas, we generally try to be accommodate the shita of mitzvah tzrichus kavana, so you have to have kavana. The Bal Kriya needs to have kavana as well, and therefore it's kedayik pashas kisei tzei just to tell the Bal Kari. Moshe will do not make an announcement to anybody who didn't.
I've heard it.
Some do. I'm not against it. I'm just saying those
heard,
just happen to not do.
Moshe will say the pashas kisei tzei. Anyone who was not yotzei in the winter can hear now in the summer.
Yeah, no, for sure. You know, it's Kedai, you know, in an Ibra Yor, like the one we're in, we're going into.
Also, to be Yosef for that Shita.
Correct, to be Yosef for that Shita. The Chasam Sofer himself, who was Makbid, was doing it as a Chumrah, but at the same point in time, you know, you say certain Chumras, you say you drive yourself nuts. Here, you should be in Shul anyway.
But you don't repeat the Pasuk of
Zeichen. No, so that anyway, you know, is a totally different story.
I've been to shuls and they repeat the Parsha Zohar 4 or 5 times.
On Kisei Tzei?
No.
Yeah, when I was in Karen Biavna, they would do that with that also. And one of the Rabbanim used to say, yeah, they're just getting ready for Purim. But either way, you know, that does seem to be a tremendous...
Is it?
Yeah, I mean, the meaning is the same. We read the word, colloquially, we'll read a Secher until...
I've heard that
Tehmani... That's what they did in Karen Biavna. They would have, you know, several, because they had very diverse population, you know, the Shiva there. Yeah, it's fine, you know, whatever, if you want to, you want to. If
others
not,
are
you're certainly Yotze.
Others are against it because, like, let's say somebody reads Parshas, what's it called? Yibum, Chalitza.
Yeah.
If with the, let's say a Sephardi reads Parshas Chalitza for an Ashkenazi, and we see what the Ashkenazi is not allowed to go out and get married.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I would hope that most people would recognize that you're really Yotze with either one. They're just doing it as a malusa, you know, because
Sephardi is Yotze, the Ashkenazi, the Havara.
Yeah, because nobody's really pronouncing anything correctly. I mean. There's no way that we have the exact Havara, nobody. Certainly, you know, Ashkenazim, Sfaradim, whatever it is, one may be a little more similar to the way things were originally, but languages evolve. And, you know, there are pronunciations.
So we're not Yotze Shema every day?
No, of course you're Yotze. You do the best you can. You're Yotze even if you're mispronouncing it somewhat. It's just maybe not Lechatchila, but you're Yotze. So because of that, you're for sure Yotze with any of those Havaros. And I wouldn't be concerned. But as you know, a Malyusa, we do that as a Chumrah. The minhag nowadays, even that Chumrah is relatively recent, the last few hundred years, which in the course of our history is recent, even if, you know, Other ways, one would think that's a long time. In a leap year, there is an inyan, as we were mentioning, possibly, certainly on the Chumrah. The minhag certainly wasn't that way going back. And there's a machlokas, it would seem, whether women are chayavos or not. I would advocate that it's kedai that women do hear Parsha Zachor. If donning on it now, I would have thought it would be a safek deraisa l'chumrah, based on a possible machlokas rishonim. But even if not, even if somebody is from a town where the minhag was not to, it's not yura in today's day and age for women to go to shul in most communities, and it's not yura certainly to go for Parsha Zachor. So it is a possible safek deraisa. I would certainly advocate that it's kedai for them to go.